Everyone, welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith. We are live, finally.
And I'm Ash Ryan.
I know. And she's live, too.
I am sort of there.
We're live, finally, on October 19th. I was just talking to Ash during the intro song, Spun Sun by our band Hologram. I was asking her, when's the last time we were live? And she looked it up, and she said,
August 10th.
OMG, as my friend says repeatedly.
That's a
long time ago. So, yeah. Yes, it's been a really busy summer. It's been an awesome summer.
Yep.
Absolutely amazing summer, hasn't it?
It's
on
been
many
so, we've
levels.
Been, we've been so many places. We've been to Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, San Diego. It's been a great time for our band.
It's been wonderful.
And we'll tell you a lot more as we go along and...
Yeah, through the show. But I hope you all had a wonderful summer, too. Sorry we missed talking to you the last 2 months. We're happy to bring our subject. We have a new topic today. And our topic is, drumroll, Ash.
Getting past the past.
Getting past the past.
That's actually harder than it looks.
How many of us can relate?
Every single one of us.
Every single one on the planet.
But apparently there's a way to have a healthy relationship with your past. No, I don't really get that, but...
So what, are you reading a Dr. Phil thing right now as we speak?
No.
I'm kidding.
But apparently there's a healthy way to get past your past, and I have no idea how that is because, I mean, you know, there's so many different situations in life where you call on your past to, you know, give you some insight.
I'm not a mind reader.
I am. So, but we're so happy to be here because it's been way too long.
It's been way too long. I have purposely and conscientiously and consciously decided not to bring my phone. Today, we did music. We had a music day. We did some writing and some recording. It's awesome to be back in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Cheryl, don't bring your phone because it's too much of a distraction. I find that I get distracted by my phone really easily. And Ash has a new phone.
Yes, I got a new phone yesterday because...
Don't say why.
Oh, yeah. One of my phones is gone, and it really sucks. It went to phone heaven, so I,
wherever it is.
I got a Samsung Galaxy S4 yesterday, a nice little white phone whose name is...
We haven't decided
the name of my phone. But anyway, so, you know, we're going to encourage you to tweet.
Yes.
Encourage you to send us on over a note, however.
So we do have a phone.
So we do have a phone to check your tweets.
And
so I
her
can
new
check
phone
online.
Is what? Super duper fast.
Yeah. So
we can get your tweets as fast as what?
As fast as you press send.
As fast as light, speed of light?
Yep. Faster.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, we really would love it. And by love, I mean love so much. If you would listen, call in. Just, you know, take some time and be
or
with
tweet.
Us tonight. Yeah.
If you have a question or you have a comment, we welcome you to find us on Twitter. We are at Hologram Music, all together.
Yes. We have a lot of interesting, you know, highlights from our summer. We have...
Is this talking about the past?
I'm getting there.
No, I'm being quite literal.
Oh, yeah, it is. And we have a lot
How to get past our past. First of all, we can't talk to you about what we did this summer because that's the past.
Yeah.
And we can only talk about our nows. That's the focus of the show.
Well, it's been quite a doozy of a summer. It's been amazing. I'm really happy to be revived in a way and to come back and get back to work and teach music and It's really wonderful, but I'm really looking forward to sharing more with all of you about the band and the new directions that we're going. And yeah, we're working on new songs.
Yeah,
today.
There's a lot of stuff that we talk about the past. So we'll talk about the summer in terms of not only were the experiences amazing in and of themselves, but we got to connect with a lot of different people. We got to get a sense of healing, even. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Healing, revitalization, refreshing kind of viewpoints. Really grateful for all of the interactions because we met so many really cool people and had really great experiences. Mm-hmm. Like,
just from one person to the next, it's just been, except the cab driver in San Pedro.
Yeah, in Los Angeles. What an ass.
He sucks.
And I say that without restraint,
because
he was.
We got our first tweet or message from George Schramm.
Oh, George
Schramm.
And he says,
your new phone's name can be Samsung.
How about Samsung the fourth?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, we're so original. Mm-hmm. Thanks, George, for that. I guess we can even put it out to everybody else. They can name that phone this
name
show.
Name Ash's phone.
Name Ash's phone. She likes to name her things. Her vehicle is Van Gogh.
Vincent
Van Gogh, and all her guitars. She's named all her guitars. Who's beside us? I've got Gloria, right?
No, there's so many.
I know. Well, tell me the names. We're actually in the music room right now. We've got 7 guitars up on the wall to my left. I've got my bass nearby.
Yeah.
I haven't even named my bass, have I?
No.
Hey, that's weird.
All you music people, if you name your instruments, call us and talk to us about that.
About how strange we are because we name our instruments.
And here's the thing to tie into the show.
What?
We have named these guitars in the past.
However, here you go. Here's a twist on all that.
Yeah.
It brings all of them to the future because we still call them by the same name.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. So
see?
Past and future. Yeah.
That's all you
Otherwise,
need to
I
know.
Could have a new name today.
Yeah.
It could be my new moment name.
I'll wait for it.
I'll be Alicia.
So how do you feel about the past? How do you feel about, okay, here's my question. This is the one I wanted to pose to you on this show.
I'm ready.
How would you say that your past has changed your present person?
I think that's true of everybody. Our past literally defines us.
But different people in different ways.
Of course. I mean, we all deal with our situations, our life experiences in different ways, depending on our personalities, the way we were raised, our belief systems. So, you can give one scenario to 10 different people from 10 different cultures, even different genders and different age groups, and you're going to have different, ways of dealing with it. So, in answer to your question, because it feels
very broad.
Broad, yeah. So the reason why we came up with this topic, let's talk about that, because the past for many people is obviously something that we all have, but what I think the challenge for any of us is to not stay in the past.
Because nostalgia is a powerful drug.
Definitely, especially when you're kind of, I've known people in my life who are actually close to me who are so attached to their past and so attached to things that happened in the past or the person they felt that they were in the past that it's like they can't be who they are now because it's almost like they don't think they're good enough anymore because the past experiences in their mind was so great compared to the doldrums of today. And it's kind of like that story, the age-old story of the high school football star who, out of high school basically just, becomes an alcoholic and works as a mechanic and gets a beer gut and has no life. But he's thinking of his glory days when he was the star, the most popular guy in school, and all the little girls loved him or whatnot. And I think it's so important for us. I mean, even for me, because I've had a lot of experiences in the past that are pretty great, and I like to remember. I've had some really not great ones, too, that I don't want to remember. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important that we are truly happy or content. I prefer the word content to happy, actually, for myself. That I'm truly content with where I am now. Instead of wishing that I had what I had or hoping for what I do not have, because then that means that I'm never really content with the now, and that's all that we have is now. You know, I equate the past for me. You think about a dream. To me, a memory is the same as a dream. I can have a dream and it feels very real. I wake up in the morning, I go, I had a dream. I can recall a memory. It feels just as real as the dream. And I know at a level of my consciousness that I've actually experienced that because it's my memory. My physical body did those things or had that experience, but it still is like a dream. There's a disconnect there too. And so I've actually sat and thought, I think a lot, I'm a big thinker. And I've thought about that. I've thought about, so what is the difference between a dream and a memory? Because both in my mind or our minds, our conscious minds, aren't real, although I think they are. But anyway, in our minds, we think, well, that's not my real experience here and now. I can't touch my memory. I can't touch my dream. I'm now in front of whatever. I'm in front of a table, in front of a computer, and I can touch both, and that's my current reality. But, you know, really thinking about how we actually change, we can actually change and alter our memories too. You think about that. You can have an experience. You've got five people having the same experience. You're going to have five different versions of it. But when you're in your own physical body and you're having the experience, you think that that's the only rendition. Whereas you've got four other renditions of it. So it's sort of the same thing. If we attach ourselves too much to our memories, they're not even reliable.
That's true.
So I think it's really essential that we recognize that. I've said this before in public. I don't know, even on this show, because I've done some public speaking. And one of the things I shared about my past is in third year university, I took a biography class. Love the teacher. Can't remember her name. Sorry, a professor, to be correct. but she was telling us how biography is, in fact, fiction. And we're going, but wait, we're writing, you know, autobiography or biography, but wait, we're writing about our lives, yada, yada. Well, no, because even in your recollect, you don't always get it right. And you're also quite biased because you're seeing it from the, I guess, from the viewpoint of your own ego, of your own perception. So what could be taken as one way by me could be, and say there's another person involved in this experience, they could see it totally differently. So this is interesting, and she's right. Even biography and autobiography, when we even think about our memories and we're putting them down as our memoirs, we're writing about our lives, or we're journaling, it's important, I think, to express and to get all that stuff out. But we also have to recognize who is the true, you know, observer, what's really observing, and who is the one reporting on our lives. And I thought that's so fascinating, because I've always been a big fan of reading about other people's lives, because I'm just fascinated by how other people do it. How do you do your life? You know, I want to learn. How do you do your life? How do you see life? How do you view sex? How do you view relationships? How do you view God or the absence of God? So I find it really fascinating.
Yeah, I agree, because I mean, I honestly always thought that biographies are nonfiction. And I remember you shared that story with me before about the, you know, biography being fiction. And I thought that rang really true, because a lot of the times you even read a book about a celebrity or something, and a lot of times you feel really special, like, wow, I'm getting a glimpse into this person's life, especially if they wrote it, right? But I'm finding, like, I even read, I think it was Courtney Love's journals that she published. And, you know, I used to be really, really big into Hole, and not as much anymore. I mean, obviously, I don't know, just they're just not as special anymore, I guess. They just really changed a lot of, it just kind of feels forced now. So I'm not really a fan, but I will always love the first few albums. But I remember reading the journals and I thought, I bet you half of this stuff didn't happen. And I'm thinking, you know, even reading someone's journal, and I just realized that, you know, even if I was to read my own journal, I don't really journal, but if I did, if I were to journal, I know that I wouldn't divulge as much even to my own journal, because I just don't feel safe. Like, not that I have anything to hide at all, but you know what I mean? Like, I just, I don't feel that a journal is the best way to get it all out sometimes, but I don't know. I don't think that writing about your life is 100% honest. And especially when I look back at my past, and I'm only 30, I'm 30, people.
Yes, happy belated birthday, Ash.
Thank you. But I just don't understand why there are so many. Like look at anyone. Like, look at, like, Heath Ledger or something. How many books are written about him? Not necessarily that he wrote about himself, but...
A lot of unauthorized.
What's the truth about the past? And that's having to really dig. I mean, we can only be responsible for our own truth. But sometimes I just want to say, look, just to whoever, I kind of, you know, I've known you for a while, and I can see into your past, and, you know, you tell people this, but it's not true. Do you really feel that it's true, or are you fabricating? And I seriously, a lot, want to just tell people, well, that's not what you told me, or, you know, that's not what I heard you say. And a part of me actually thinks maybe they don't remember it that way. Like, what is it? What are barriers that we put up, and why do we put them up? Like, I know that there's painful experiences and things like that you don't really want to remember, but what about the simplest of things that aren't minute, but are sort of mile markers in a way, but what is it that twists our perception? Is it just that you forget?
Is it the ego?
Is it the ego?
Is it that, you know, we come from a place where we want someone to think differently of us in some way, so we change the story? I mean, publicists call it putting a spin on things, which is what most celebrities have. They have professionals who put spins on things. You know, so basically it's just taking a situation and trying to make it look admirable as opposed to destructive or disrespectful. But I think we do that ourselves. I think if we really got honest with ourselves, I think it's a really important thing to ask yourself is, how much do I lie? Mm-hmm. And lying is also by omission. How much do we not share? How much do we, little white lies. Oh, those are okay. And I don't know. I feel very strongly about being as honest as you possibly can. I mean, of course, you've got to have a bit of a filter, because you're not going to tell somebody everything you think, because even in the moment you could be angry and thinking something, but it's not truly what you feel when you're not angry or overall. So you have, you know, of course, you're going to pick and choose what you share. You're not just going to, you know, blurt everything out that comes into your thoughts, because I also think a lot of thoughts aren't necessarily what we, that they're ours per se. They're not, they're just kind of there, and whether you choose to hang on to it. But I think talking about the past and talking about how we can, I think most of us, the biggest challenge is to acknowledge it, but don't let it run us and don't live in it.
Yeah, you know, I have had a lot of friends, even in my, you know, older years. not that I'm older, but I'm 30.
You mean when you were 16?
Yeah, and I've had to really take a look at the people I've hung out with, and that's one of the first things I'd ask myself is, how often do they tell the truth? And a lot of the circumstances that I had gotten myself into that I didn't really like had to do with people who lie, and it's. Sometimes it's about ego, I find, but it's a lot about insecurity as well.
Insecurity and fear.
Insecurity and fear, and just unknowing of certainty in your life.
It's about control, too, because people have this false belief that if they lie, they can control and manipulate a situation to an outcome that they want. I kind of say, hey, just let it all go, surrender, say the truth, and let what's meant to be. That's kind of how I've come to be. I certainly haven't always been a truthful, honest person. There's a point in my life where I, too, lived in fear, and I felt that if I didn't, you know, if I shared the truth, that people would judge me, or they would, you know, not like me, or they would reject me, or, you know, or I felt that I could control manipulate a situation if I steered people in a certain way. But, you know, I choose not to go there anymore. But that's my past. So here we are. It's a great example of looking at how our past, who we were perhaps, or the choices we made, and how they don't serve us anymore and living in our present moment. I read somewhere that when you live in the past, you are depressed, and when you live in the future, you're anxious. And that made sense to me.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, oftentimes, you know, living in the past, you either are regretting or you're like putting too much emphasis on something that, you know, you're making it greater because you're saying, you know, maybe in your head you think like things aren't as good now as they were then, and you're getting maudlin and you're getting, you know, very nostalgic, and you know, it just takes you away from the now. And I think it's imperative for life, in terms of experiencing life in its fullest, to be in the now. There's no way, when you're living in the past, or I am, or any of us are living in the past, or we're living even in memory in our future, we're projecting what could happen, or we're thinking back to memory, we're not even here. It's like it takes you to another place.
And yeah, I always, well, not always, but lately, I've been thinking about how important it is to stay in the present. And I never really understood how somebody can do that, because I don't think I'm very good at that. I always think, well, like even I'll use this example, like making a mixtape or something. I'll be thinking, oh, I remember those songs from this time ago, and oh, I have to put all these together because this is how this was and this is how this was like. And I'm thinking, well, if those special mixes that I'd made long ago are so special, and say there's three of them or something, why can't I make newer ones that so I can make other new memories and be nostalgic over those? But it just doesn't seem as special to me. It just seems more dull. It seems like there was times when I felt more alive, I guess, and I want to capture that again. And I think that that's what people try and do, honestly. It's not even about insecurity a lot of the times. It's when they felt the most vibrant. And it's when they felt the most alive. And I think that that's why nostalgia is so important, because life is important. And, you know, death less so when you're alive, I guess. But I really would love to hear other people's perspective on that, because I'm not the best at living in the present. And, oh, we're 23 minutes into the show, and I want to give you the call-in number. Just in case, people, it's 888-627-6008.
Just so you know, we are indeed live. Today is Sunday, October 19th, just so you know that this is a live show.
Yeah, because we're not live very often.
Well, we are, but not this last summer.
Yeah, it's been so busy.
So putting the past in the past, I think, getting back to like just renaming the topic, I feel that the past has a place. I mean, history has a place for all of us. Mm-hmm. We're hoping that we don't repeat history, but history is shown that we constantly repeat it. We're making the same mistakes. I'd like to see us stop, you know, doing that and start doing things differently as a culture, as a world, especially around war. But I think it definitely obviously has a place, but I think it's about balance. It's not allowing our past to define us. Say, for example, you're a person who has suffered horrific emotional, physical, mental abuse, maybe as a child. Now, that definitely can define you in terms of how you relate to others, whether there's trust issues, a lot of fear. I mean, that would be understandable based on you have had an experience where someone you trusted, the person who you're supposed to trust the most, which would be your parents, have horrifically betrayed your trust and not treated you in any way like a parent really naturally would treat you. So if someone were to cling on to that, they would grow up and allow that experience to define who they are today, then that's the sadness. That's sort of the travesty. I mean, first of all, that someone would do that to another individual, that would strip them and rob them of a life well lived and fully lived, is that's their karma. They're going to definitely have to deal with that. I truly believe that. But the travesty in is that person isn't able to move forward or through it. And this is where I think it's exceptionally important for any of us to have the humility to recognize that we do need to get to a place of having trust and faith that we can reach out and ask for a little bit of help through these things. But what I would like to say is that it doesn't have to define you. It doesn't have to define me or any of us. It's sort of taking ourselves back and becoming empowered. I use that as an extreme example. And of course, it takes time. It takes work to get through something like that, to heal from such a background of abuse like that. But it's not that it can't be done. And I've seen it, and I've experienced personally my own transition and transmutation of hatred and fear, and coming through and coming back to trust. And that's the biggest thing, I think, for any of us. When we dwell in the past where we've been hurt deeply, or have had some kind of tragedy happen to us, for us to get around the tragedy, to get around the pain, it's going through it. It's allowing ourselves to feel it, but come to a place of truly trusting and having faith again in ourselves mostly. I think it comes back to us. Mm-hmm. It's not even so much about having faith in mankind as it is about having faith in us, ourselves, individually first, and getting to that place of self-love. And then, you know, allowing yourself to develop other relationships. And of course, not everybody in this world is kind. Not everybody in this world can be trusted. And developing your own intuitive gifts so that you can, you know, rely on them and understand them.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would you say for you? What do you feel that a healthy relationship with your past is?
One that, first of all, that you recognized it happened. I don't think that any... If you're trying to forget something or push it away or stuff it down, I think that's the worst thing to do for any of us, because it's impossible. And what happens is there's no way that you can escape your past, because it is what it is. And even shoving it down or trying to pretend, or, you know, drinking a lot or drugging a lot or getting involved in anything just to try to stuff it is ultimately going to cause you more harm and pain in the end. And I think one of the biggest things for any of us when we're talking about a past that's a painful past is that we actually allow it to be. And that means to say, this happened and this is how I feel about it, and this is what I'm going to do to help myself heal, to get through it. So I think that's one of the main things, because I personally went through trying to stuff my pain, and I know a lot of people personally who've done the same thing, and it just doesn't get us anywhere. It's just prolonging the inevitable. Mm-hmm. So I think it's imperative that we recognize it happened and we take part in it. We take responsibility for the things instead of blaming, you know, anything for your situation. Is just saying, okay, well, I participated in that. I made a choice. It doesn't mean that you're taking, you know, full responsibility, and because of course it takes more than one person, especially in terms of relationship history. But I think it's imperative that you recognize your part in your past, as opposed to being a blamer, because that's another way to cause yourself harm in the mm-hmm. in the present moment, is to just say it's everybody else's fault that my life sucks. No, it's not. You can remove yourself from situations. You can stop drinking. You can stop drugging. You can stop doing things that are causing you harm and making your life crazy. Will you? That's up to you.
Exactly. And we would like to welcome our most special caller, Ash's mom, on line one.
It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom.
So,
hello.
How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing very well.
Well, that's good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. And what do you have to share today, Ash's mom?
Okay. What I want to say is I have to be living my past, because that's what reminds you, like it's almost like it's almost like a hit in the head that stops you from making the same mistakes again.
That's true.
You know? So, you know, if you don't remember the past and you can't relive the past, then you haven't learned from your mistakes.
But what about the good things, though? What about living in your past? Because it's not about mistakes, but it's about the better moments. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't like your life now. You just had special times in your past.
Yes, yes. And like we just lost Auntie Bonnie last month. And you know, I mean, yeah, we had some bad times, but we had mostly good times. And when you relive the past there, like right now, it's painful. Whether it's a good past or a bad past, or you know, it's not about learning a lesson. It's about feeling. Like you have to feel. You know, that's so important.
I guess that's one of the things.
So it's I think the past is just so important. It's a learning tool. It's a wonderful memory. We learn to do good from things that we've done in the past.
Oh yeah.
And you know, like, yeah, I did that and I helped that person, or I wonder if this would apply to this person now to help them out. You know what I mean? Without a past, we'd be nobody. You know, we wouldn't be able to, I don't think we'd be able to feel and to learn and to, you know, set examples, you know, without having lived a past. Like, you know, having really lived it. Some people don't live. Like, you know what I mean? And they don't learn anything and they don't really, they just exist. And for me, you need some color in your life to actually be. To I don't know how to say it. You have to have color in your life to, I don't know, be an artist, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I feel.
Well, that's really cool.
Anyways.
I agree with you. I feel like that, you know, if we didn't give our past due credit, not just, you know, say the past is the past, then how are we even going to appreciate the future? Because it's not really going to be that exciting. We're just going to be like, oh, well, the good days were behind us. And
yeah, and it's just like when you're a kid, when you're told, you know, don't touch the stove, don't touch the stove, and you touch the stove, and wow, you burn your hand, it's hot. And if you don't remember that pain, you do it again. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, so in that case, the past is a very good teacher.
Yes, it is. It is. So I'm just very grateful for the past I've had, for the it's how you look at things. It's how you take things, you know, it's how you taste things, right? You're either, you know, some people, you know, don't like vinegar, and some people think vinegar adds, you know, to the salad dressing. You know what I mean? It's how you interpret things, and it's how you want to live your life and how you want to be. You know?
That's very true.
And if you take your past in a positive way, your future's, I mean, your present is good. Like, your present is good. And if your present is good, you can move on to a happier future with the lessons that you've learned. But it makes you happy. Well, for me, anyway, it makes you happy that you learned what you learned and you appreciate what you had. And there's good in the past, too, that you just savor and you hang on to. Because when you get older, that's, you know, I've been told that sometimes that's all you have left is your memories. You know, so, you know, try to make them good ones. So
yeah,
that's my thought for the
day. Janice, when you're remembering the good things, it's joy relived, right? So
yeah.
In a memory of a great experience from the past, you're reliving your joy in the present.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many layers to this because I mean,
yeah.
We're talking about the subject, but it's so multi-layered. It's not Because even energetically, to bring a past memory to of love, of sharing. You're talking about the passing of your sister-in-law or your cousin-in-law who you loved as a best friend. And it's recent, and you're remembering things of, you know, of course it's extremely sad because she's gone, her physical self is gone. But in the remembering of the good things that you shared, there's joy relived, there's love. It's like there's the energy of joy and love right there.
Yeah. That's really important.
So I think that we can actually transform our present when we bring joy and love to the moment. So this is a whole, again, multi-level. And you know, I like shared about the past. It's great. I mean, if all of us could sort of, you know, it would be ultimately ideal, I think, for each of us to have a lesson in life, to have an experience and to make a mistake and then to learn from it immediately. But how many of us does it take at least 20, 30, maybe sometimes 100 times to learn?
Yeah. So that's for sure. And you know what? And just like in childbirth, that is so painful, right, Cheryl? Remember that? You know, it's so painful. Like, you know, my grandmother always used to tell me and my aunts, I always say, what's it going to be like when you go into labor and have a baby? And there's, I say, how am I going to know when I'm in labor? And they'd say, you'll know. And then when I went into labor, I went, boy, do I know. You know, so... You know, like it's you know, people telling you that it's, oh boy, but they won't tell you if it's good and they won't tell you it's bad. But they do tell you, soon as the labor stops, you've got this most incredible miracle laying right on your tummy. And that was the happiest day of my life, you know? And that's out of something like, you can't describe what that feels like. That's why you can't remember the pain, because it's so great. So
because
there you go. There's my...
The outcome is so amazing, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you won't listen to people and they say, well, I mean, they won't even tell you because they can't describe what it feels like. But, you know, it's very pain. You see it on TV or anywhere and it's like they're screaming like banshees. And you think, oh my God, is that what I got to do? And so you're learning... from that, thinking, oh my God, and you prepare yourself for this pain, but you don't, because you don't, because nothing can prepare you for that, but
that's
when it's over, oh my God.
That's why I have cats. I don't have to...
Did you hear your dog?
I don't have to push cats from my uterus.
No, you don't.
No,
you don't,
just,
but you know what?
Cat mama.
The biggest blessing is you.
Thank you very much, and that's why I love cats, because a lot of them need homes.
You did too.
Yes.
I need a home.
And you know what? There's a lot of children out there that need homes too. Ash, hello, are you there?
Well, we're coming up to Halloween. It makes sense that it could be a creepy message from your mother.
Yeah, the computer just slowed your voice down, and it was really funny. You know, there's a lot of...
I know, I got a grand dog. Anyway, I will let you guys go, just in case you have another caller coming or something, or you want to discuss something else. And thank you for listening.
Leaving, what's the past?
Getting past
the past. I don't see. I don't have my phone. I have nothing. This is all off the top of my head. I've got no notes, no reference other than Ash's phone. So if you want to tweet a question or a comment, feel free to tweet us at Hologram Music, and we will respond accordingly. So, Ash, you've been asking me all these questions about my past, so now it's my turn to ask you.
Okay.
If you were to be who you are today and to lose your memory entirely about everything up until about 3 months ago, how do you feel that would be either a benefit or a detriment to you?
Well, I think that I have learned so damn much about people, about, you know, respect, about human interaction and human and animal interaction, whatever. And I would really hate to lose all the hours and times and everything that I, and pain and happiness and everything that I'd gone through to get where I am now, to be comfortable with myself, to be comfortable with the choices I've made, either to cut people out of my life, honestly, or to keep them in my life. And a lot of my friends and everything, they say to me, they say, you know, you're a really hard person to get a hold of, or you know, it's hard to see you because you can never hang out and things like that. And yes, I can. I it's not that I'm cutting people out of my life that I don't talk to. It's that I honestly am really busy.
Ooh, that word.
Busy?
Yeah.
But it's true. I have two jobs, a band. Like, there's lots of things, right?
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, one of the hardest things for me with my past. Like, if I were to lose my memory, like, it would be really hard for me to group the people in my life that are really meaningful to me, because there's been so many, even that I don't really talk to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be a detriment also to lose the people who I don't really want to associate with anymore, because as a group, there's a lot of growth that I've learned from each person who I no longer associate with, just like all of us. And that's, I think, the thing that I wouldn't want to lose. I wouldn't want to lose the lessons. I wouldn't want to lose the good times. I wouldn't want to lose knowing why people are in my life now that are still in there. And, yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about that the other day. Actually, I was talking to you about that people who I've let go of, that I feel like I've had to let go of, that I still feel guilty about letting go of, because I wasn't able to give a full explanation at times. And then you told me, well, obviously that it was meant to be. You did what you had to do. But I've been thinking a lot. I've been thinking about my past a lot lately, and different interactions. And yeah, so I guess.
So what are your thoughts bringing you to what realization? Like, if you have been very, I guess, philosophical in some way, mm-hmm. looking at your past and kind of almost as, you know, the observer going, okay, did I do the best? So anyways, what I was talking about, 10 seconds. Like, okay, 4 minutes, holy crap.
Bottom line, I have no idea what to say about that, besides that I've just been thinking a lot about people that are no longer in my life. And it's not that I'm even thinking of them individually. I'm just thinking about my growth collectively, yeah. and how I've had to let go of certain people, because I definitely could not be where I am today if I had stayed. And it's not saying that certain people from our past are bad people. It's just where they are in their journey doesn't really add up to where, you know, we could be in our journey. So I don't know. I just, part of me wants to go back and just talk to different people and say, you know, who I am now is, well, thank you for that, because it took not being your friend anymore to get this mentally healthy. I'm sorry about this, but this is what had to happen, and I just didn't want you to think that you were a bad person. It, like, you know what I mean?
But don't you think that life will give you that opportunity?
Oh, yeah.
If it's meant to happen, because life is ultimately about change, and that's one of the biggest things that I've come to know, but change. Number one, we're changing constantly. Everything's changing. Your friendships, your family even changes, where you live, your vocation, the way you see the world. I mean, some people are so attached to the way they see the world, and there's a part of them is just screaming to change, but because of this idea that I can't, because that'll mean I'm not me, it's not true. I think we have to sort of see ourselves as evolutionary, even as individuals, not just evolutionary from a collective standpoint, but as an individual, we're evolutionary. Accept yourself as being in constant change. And I think that that's one of the biggest things that has helped me, mm-hmm. even in dealing with my past, because who I was 10 years ago is not who I am today.
Yeah.
And so I just sort of see it as this lovely memory dream. And I recognize, and I'm kind enough to myself, and I have enough self-love today that I can say, well, I really did do the best that I could at that time with what I knew, with who I was, with my circumstances. And that's all that any of us can ask of ourselves is, in any given point, are we doing the best that we can? And when we're not, being honest about it. Mm-hmm. I've gone through that too, going, I don't want to do my best right now. I'm tired, I'm angry, I'm whatever. I just don't have what it takes right now. And that's okay too, because I guess in reality, that is my best.
Part of self-care is a big part of honoring the present, because I've actually really benefited at times from escaping from a stressful situation by remembering the past. Like I've even been places where I didn't want to be, and I'd think of prior circumstances, and it would really get me out of feeling the kind of frantic worry of a situation. Like, there's comfort. It's like, you know, when people say go to your happy place,
yeah,
I think that that's a healthy way of living in the past. It's having a sacred space in your memory of different memories that you can pull on to comfort you. I think that that's okay.
I think it's totally okay. Like I was saying, that oftentimes if we have a memory that's a really beautiful, pleasant memory, we're bringing the joy of that experience to our present moment. And there's nothing that can be better than that, because mm-hmm. we're bringing the energy of love, we're bringing the energy of joy in a recollection to our present moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more there's a difference between living in a past that's full of pain and living in a past that had a lot of joys. So I think it's important for us to differentiate between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important when there's pain that we move through our pain, that mm-hmm. we can remember and we move through it and we don't deny it, but not stay there.
Yeah.
Right? That's when it becomes destructive to ourselves, psyche, to our spirit.
It's all about being kind to yourself. And like you were saying, sometimes it's okay we're not doing our best.
Well,
sometimes,
it's reality. How many of us can be, you know, A++ constantly? That's impossible.
We can't be on all the time.
No. And for us to think that we can, that's a rough life, man. To live as a perfectionist, I've been there.
Yeah.
That is, it's just horrible.
And there can be times where you do have a great stretch of...
Of course. You strive and you excel and you get the gold medal, but there's mm-hmm. going to be times when you're like not even getting the bronze.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
And I think it's really vitally important that we're okay with that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let someone else get the gold once in a while. That's okay. That's love. Like, it's not about living completely in this highest expectation of us as individuals to strive, 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 because then we kind of forget about our fellow human beings. And I think it's really just about remembering each other and saying, there's times when I'm going to excel and there's times when you're going to excel, and I want to be there to prop you up when you do, not be jealous, not be angry, not be, I don't know, just... You know, that's another thing from my past and my past experiences. I've come to see the importance of love. And that's all I can say about that, because, you know, and love is a very powerful thing.
Well, I think the most important thing for everyone to realize is that it's okay to be lenient with yourself. I mean, I look back to times in my life where I have either been too hard on myself or I've been kind and lenient to myself. And the most important lessons I've ever learned is when I was lenient with myself. When I was hard on myself, those aren't good memories.
And that's the perfectionism, right? Yeah. When you're chastising yourself for, you should have done it this way, and why didn't you mm-hmm. do it that way? And then that's when the negative self-talk comes in.
Oh, yeah.
What an idiot, and you yeah. stupid person. I mean, all this, we're pretty nasty. I read on Facebook, it said, you know, if you actually listen to all your head thoughts and took it as a friend, like say it's another mm-hmm. entity other than yourself, all these negative, nasty head thoughts, would you be friends with that person? No way.
Definitely not.
So this is another thing, putting in perspective the negative self-talk that each of us goes through. And none of us is immune to it. None of us. And we've seen that, you know, I've seen people who I would never have known were sad or depressed, and they take their own lives, and I'm blown away, because I'm going, I don't get it. In my eyes, you had so much, and in my eyes, you had everything, and you never let on, and I don't understand why. And so it's a testimony in and of itself when we've seen that, even publicly. I'll mention Rob's with his death, you know, how everybody was like, what? He brings so much joy, and
oh, yeah.
and he seems so together, and he seemed so happy. And I mean, we put all that, wow, you know, this is the man I believed that I saw. And why would a man like that not want to be here anymore? I mean, it's so much deeper than what we're talking about, but just on the surface, that's what I'm talking about mm-hmm. is getting to a point and place of recognizing that things aren't always as they seem.
Mm-hmm. And there's always, always room to dig.
It's imperative that we are able to be really honest and truthful. And if we can, if we have pasts where we've seen that our honesty has paid off, then we have more faith and trust that we can continue to be authentic, continue to be honest. Because it's not such a scary place. Most of us are waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like if we do something bad's going to happen. Why don't we just step out and say, I'm going to be the best me I can be, and there you go. If it's not good enough for you, then I guess you're not meant to be
exactly.
in my circle. And I love that. I love how spirit just kind of, you know, dictates to us, where's our tribe? You'll be led. You'll go to your tribe. Your tribe's there. You're not alone. And don't be upset when someone isn't meant to be in your tribe. I think that's the biggest thing, is for us to allow people mm-hmm. to just go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And not necessarily with resentment or with anger or with disdain. Just say, hey, man, bless ya.
But that's the hardest thing that I've ever had to learn is not to push things that the flow is when it's often right, when you're having to force, you know, squares into triangles.
Yeah, or round holes.
That's when it just doesn't.
But that comes with maturity. That comes with wisdom. When you recognize mm-hmm. that you truly can surrender, you can let go. You're not a product of your past. If you were an asshole even a year ago, doesn't mean you have to be one today.
Exactly.
Believe it or not. We, you know, life is this glorious group of just beautiful experiences and choices, and you are responsible for each and every one. And if you were to take personal responsibility for wherever you are, then that's one of the biggest steps.
Oh, yeah.
To being in the now is to recognize that the past really truly doesn't have a hold on you. If you believe that it does, it's not reality, it's an illusion. And you can wriggle free, and you can come to the present moment, and you can have hope for tomorrow. But don't be wishing for tomorrow. Just stay in the now. Just the beauty and the miraculous nature of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Janice, Ash's mom, for calling in. And thank you for listening. And we send you our highest blessings. We encourage you to kiss a tree because, hey, it connects you. And, we hope to see you or hear, actually see you. We hope that you will listen to us in a couple weeks from now. And in the meantime, we hope you get past your past.
Kiss a tree and enjoy your day.
Good night. Smile.